Hello, everyone. I'm Vitaly. I'm from Red Hat, and I normally work on things like wider KVM. You can meet me in the Linux kernel and other mostly like lower-level projects. And for the last couple of years, I'm involved in making sure Linux runs well on confidential VMs. So I'd like to continue discussing the topic which Annie has started. And basically, I want to have like a more generic talk on why we still have some trust issues when we use confidential VMs and are these issues going away anytime soon. So going to the basics, like what is a confidential VM? What's the main promise of the confidential VM? Why would you be interested? The main promise is that it gives you data confidentiality, right? So nobody but you as the owner of this VM, no matter where it runs, can get to the data which this VM has or processes or does something, right? So that's the main difference. And where can you get these VMs? Well, becoming pretty ubiquitous. And over the last year, we've seen that some like cloud providers, like for example, Google, they just moved to like general availability back in fall, I think like October, November, both with CVSNP and TDX. Azure was doing CVSNP for quite a while. They have TDX, Intel TDX, and like public preview. I hope we are going to see it in GA soon. And in AWS, you can get CVSNP feature enablement for certain instance types, also like in GA. So at least it's like major hyperscalers support this already. Then the question is like, can you run it on premise? Because for quite a while, it was kind of interesting because you look at the patches and they're still being like discussed upstream something, but then you go to a cloud and like, oh, we are KVM based and we already run confidential VMs. Like, how do you guys do that without the upstream enablement? Anyway, so last year we finally got patches for CVSNP landed in like KVM, KEMU, I guess like Libvirt and OVMF. So basically you don't need to do anything. You can take upstream bits and run CVSNP VMs now. Intel TDX is a long story because that's how it's done. It's coming. I guess that we will finally have KVM enablement in the next upstream kernel, and KEMU will land shortly after. For now, there is an effort in CentOS. There is a CentOS SIG, which builds these not yet fully upstream bits. So if you are interested in running Intel TDX on-premise, check out this SIG. One particularly hard part of TDX enablement is that you need to have this like decap enclave for making this like TDX quotes, which is basically like an SGX enclave. And the way how Intel packaged it, it makes it really hard to put it in a distribution. But I've heard good news that it's finally coming into Fedora soon, at least, and hopefully like other distros. Okay, so you see, right, we can already get a confidential VM either on-premise or we can get it in the cloud, right? And as I said, the main promise is that it's confidential, right? So are we good, right? Like all done, nothing to talk about? Well, not quite, I guess. Very simple like question that like you don't want to depend on your infrastructure, but you still need it to run your VM. So you think, go to some your cloud provider's web portal, click, click, click. Here is your confidential VM, connect to this IP address. Why do you think it's confidential? Why do you think it keeps any of the promises? Yes, so if you go into this like confidential domain something, people will tell you one magic word about this, attestation. You need to attest. And then you start reading more about what attestation means, and these people are really smart. They use their own language, and you will very quickly get lost like I do, right? They're like, oh, we have this REST protocol and everything. So they discuss this protocol, everything. And it's easy to get lost because the part is, oh, we just gather some evidence from the instance and then we do magic, right? And it shows us the green checkbox. You're all good. But what does it actually prove, this attestation? What do we need to check when we got this confidential VM? So I said that attestation is a very like umbrella term, that's the umbrella. My take on this would be that first you need to make sure that you are actually running on the appropriate hardware, right? So it's not like some sort of an emulation of the hardware, because otherwise you cannot really trust it unless you wrote this emulation yourself or something. When the VM is built, right, you need to make sure that it was built in the right state, the initial set of like CPU registers where you can set them like on 7SNP and the initial memory, right? And then you get something which is expected. Then your VM probably boots somehow, right? So you have a chain of artifacts from firmware to some bootloader, maybe another bootloader, and then to your like kernel. And you kind of care what's in this chain. Second, if your VM has any storage, and normally it does, right? It even boots from a storage. Then you may want to ensure that nobody tampered with the storage. And then comes to the last point that when you have this VM running, that nobody else but you can actually access it. Nobody can inject anything in this VM, and in particular, some like provisioning agents are known for providing unlimited access to your VMs. Anyway, hardware. So, we are interested in these confidential VMs, and which are like rooted in hardware. So you trust the CPU, and these CVM technologies, they normally can provide you some sort of a, think about it like a signed document saying this hardware is good. How do you know that this report is coming from the hardware where you run, right? You can add some data there, like for example your SSH host key, right? So it's signed together with your other information, and then you can look at the report and okay, yeah, I'm connecting to like a real CVM. But not all CVM implementations will give you raw access to this mechanism, which can give you like a report. Namely, like on Azure, they use like a paravisor. So you can still get the report, but from a VTPEM, which means that now you cannot do this like challenge, right? You cannot put your own data in there. You have to trust someone who got this report for you, right? So your VTPM becomes your new root of trust. And I'm going to talk about it a bit later on, like if you can or cannot trust it really. Okay, fast forward. Initial CVM state is basically, you will hear, okay, we have some launch measurement, which is like a hash describing the initial state of registers and memory, which is great. But do you know what the hash is? Can you pre-calculate it? So yes, if you run your own like CVMs like on premise, there are tools where you can give your like firmware and then describe the configuration of VM, like how many vCPUs you will have, something, and you will get some hash, which presumably you will later see in the VM. What if you are on a cloud provider? Well, some cloud providers are nice, and they give you something like a reproducible build of your firmware. Basically, here is the repo of OVMF with our patches. Build it. AWS does that. Thank you, guys. You have to use like Nix build system to build it, which is funny, but the instructions are there. You can try it, and hopefully you will get the hash which you see in AWS's instances. Then, Annie's idea, if you can bring your own firmware, you can also, like, presumably, eventually, we don't have it on any platform available yet, but eventually we may get these predictable hashes. And what if none of this is available for you? Well, then the only thing you can basically tell is that this hash never changes, right? Every time you run your CVM on a public cloud, you get some hash. So if you don't think that this infrastructure is like inherently evil, you know, and it was evil from the very beginning, if you only care about attacks like, oh, some intruder will get access to some host which runs my CVM, it's going to change some bits there, right, and hack into my CVM, then you may consider yourself protected against such attack, right, just because you observe the same hash over and over again. Okay, boot chain, right? You are likely going to, when firmware starts, firmware was measured, everything, you start booting, and how do you ensure that what you boot is valid? Because normally you load it from a storage, right? So it's not covered by any launch measurements. Normally two mechanisms are used, secure boot and measured boot. And again, it makes it sound like as soon as you enable secure boot, you're secure. But that's not always the case. And the thing is, like, what secure boot really is. There is some database of, say, good certificates, and you check that whatever you boot was signed by one of the certificates from this database. If you take the defaults, for example, there are like Microsoft certificates there. They sign various shim versions, which load pretty much everything out there. So just by the fact that you have secure boot enabled, you are not going to gain that much, unless you also measure, basically you remember which certificates you used in the boot chain. This is normally called measured boot. But then you need a trusted device for that. You're going to record this, like, say, hashes of the certificates which you used in the chain or all the binaries which you used in boot chain. You're going to record them somewhere so you are able to check it later, like using evidence to prove that you're good, where this place can be. Normally, you can use a TPM device, like on hardware. But you're in a VM, so it's likely going to be a virtual TPM. There is another mechanism which I wanted to mention, that TDX offers you these similar registers, which, like RTMRs, have only four of them, right? But thing is, they're not that well supported across the stack, and they have very, very limited use, so I'm not convinced that this is going to get wide adoption when TDX finally rolls out. So, VTPM. You measure something in a VTPM and then you trust it. Well, in that case, you want to be sure that the VTPM is trusted, right? Because if it's controlled by, say, fully controlled by the host, well, then the host can change these measurements, right? You measure something in it, and it will just swap these measurements with something else for you. The idea is for SevSNP, for AMD, that they have these privileged levels, and you can implement your VTPM as part of firmware. You don't always know how clouds do them. Some of them claim that they implement this, in particular like Microsoft. If you run on-premise, there is SVSM project which implements VTPM as part of the firmware inside the guest. And the beauty of it is that it gets in the launch measurements, right? If it's part of the firmware, then you measure it. For TDX, as I remember, like, two architectures were suggested initially. They were suggesting you run, they don't have these VMPLs, so they were suggesting that you can run VTPM and separate TD, basically a separate VM, and connect them somehow, right, which creates its own set of complexities. their new architecture is called like TD partitioning, which is basically let's run a nested hypervisor, right? We can create L1, which is going to be like privileged. It will contain your VTPM. Then you will put your Linux in L2. We will see. As I said, like TDX enablement is just landing. Cloud providers which enable it, Azure. I haven't seen any publicly available claim on how they do TDX on how they do TPM on their TDX instances. But it's like they have it in preview, so maybe by the time they go to GA, they will say something about it. Google, as far as I understand, never claimed that their TPM is isolated from the host. So basically, you have to trust that it's, you have to trust it. Yesterday in the Cocoa Dev Room, there was a talk by Microsoft, where they describe how they do this like VTPM-based booting for their Azure Linux. I did a similar talk in this dev room a year ago, which was more technical than this one. So I encourage you to watch it if you are interested. Okay, so you have your boot chain validated, right? And then it comes to storage. Thing is that, again, storage is not covered by any launch measurements. You may have parts of storage which are, say, persistent. Think about like image-based operating system, where you don't really want to hide it from the whole world. For example, if it's like an open source operating system, there is nothing to hide, you may say. But you're still interested that the host doesn't tamper, or somebody else, an attacker doesn't tamper with these like static parts of your storage. And you may use something like DM Verity. You can say sign a hash when you produce your image. You can inject the key which signed this hash in your secure boot DB, and then you can check that you are using it. Normally this works, right? But again, you will have to make sure that it's all measured. And again, we got to the point where your VTPM must be trusted. With volatile storage, where you want to save like data, something, you have to encrypt, right? There is no other protection. So the question is, if you have some encrypted storage, how can you get the key? And again, you don't trust your infrastructure, so going via, I don't know, like serial console and entering a password on boot is not an option, because the serial is controlled by the infrastructure. You have to do it automatically, and also it doesn't scale, of course, but even without scaling, it cannot be done in a secure manner. Normally, people suggest two approaches how you can do it. First, you can use a policy in your TPM device. And the policy in a TPM device, you basically say, hey, my PCR register should look like this, and then you can unlock this password and give it to the operating system. And you can, for example, say like hashes, again, of the certificates which you used in the boot chain previously, or something. This normally works to the point where you trust your TPM device. If you think that it's implemented the right way, or you trust it for some other reason, then yes, you can leave the evaluation of the policy to the TPM and use it. Another idea is to do like remote attestation, basically gather all the evidence we've gathered so far, starting from launch measurements, boot chain, something. Give it to someone who holds our key and receive a key which decrypts your storage. which is, yeah, just good. Only that you get it from the VTPM, right? So sorry, yeah. So yes. So what I wanted to say is that if you want to do it, then your VTPM must be stateful. By stateful, it means that every time you boot VTPM, it has the same keys in it. Think of VTPM as some like key storage and some very simple processor around it, which can do some simple actions like encrypt, decrypt, seal, unseal, verify something. And if you boot on like public clouds today, like again hyperscalers, I'm using as an example, they will all give you something which initially looks like a stateful VTPM. It preserves the key, it's all there. You may wonder where this comes from. So far as I know, only Azure claims that they do some sort of the under-the-hood attestation early in firmware to decrypt the state. So it's basically stored as a file, which can in theory access, but the file is encrypted. And to decrypt it early in the attestation, they connect to their own Microsoft server, prove that this is like a genuine CVEM, and decrypt the state. You can use it, but again, then you trust this other part of Microsoft infrastructure if you do so. Is it good or bad? Well, depends on like what the threat model you use, what you care about. If you don't want to trust your cloud provider at all, this just shifts your trust from one place to the other inside the cloud provider. You're not gaining much, right? You may want to say that, okay, I don't want to protect myself against a completely like evil cloud provider. What I care about is somebody hacking in some host which runs my CVM and stealing something from it. In that case, you do get isolation from the host where you run. This procedure allows for that. What if you run your own infrastructure and want to build something similar? In SVSM project, there is some work going on, and Stefano was telling us about it yesterday in the Cocker Room. It is quite complex because you either need to have, say, networking early, very early in the boot process, like that firmware is going to talk to some server way before even your bootloader starts, right? Which is challenging, or we need to go through the host and have some sort of a proxy there, but this comes with its own complexity, especially when you think about this like real-world deployments, right? Because you host and your guest may not even be connected on the same network, right? Your host looks in some network, like a management network, and your guests are connected with virtual functions to another network. So if you go through the host, you cannot reach a server which the guest can also access. It's challenging, but so we will have some sort of a solution soon, I guess. Okay, so last but not least is provisioning agents. If you running on something like a public cloud, you're probably used to things like cloud init. And the thing is about cloud init that it's fully controlled by the infrastructure. The data source normally can do anything to your VM, run any script there, inject any key. If you use it, then you trust it. It's not isolated from provider or anything. You cannot like sign it yourself, or at least like there are no this like publicly available solutions for that. I know that this has been looked at by some cloud providers who want to provide some sort of a trusted data source. So far, I haven't seen any implementations. So what you have to do is basically avoid any provisioning agents, which is hard. Because even if you don't want, for example, your cloud init to inject your SSH key, you still may want to let it configure your networking. So something like a policy-based mechanism would be nice to have, just that we don't have one. Okay, so that was basically the state of art as I see it currently. As you can see, in some places we have some fairly good solutions, in other places not so much, and the work is ongoing. So, thank you. Any questions? Go ahead.
I have two questions, actually. Is it possible to embed the encryption key for the storage in the firmware itself?
The question is whether it's possible to embed the key to the storage in the firmware. The firmware is visible by the host. You don't want to give your storage key to your host. In no way you want to do that, right? Because the host will be able to then do something with your storage. So no, you cannot do that.
Unless you're bringing your own firmware.
No, even if you are bringing your own firmware, you cannot give, you are giving away this firmware to the host. The host is going to use it to build your VM. It sees it completely.
I see. And my other question is, what if we want to do confidential dedicated servers or confidential containers? Is the story vastly different?
The question is, if we want to do like confidential containers, whether it's different or not, it's slightly different, but normally you still, if you want to do it, say, again, on like public cloud infrastructure, this underlying VM which runs these containers must also be trusted by you. Because think about this. If your cloud provider can swap your kernel in your VM with something different, and you use your kernel for your container isolation, can you guarantee anything about this confidentiality of these containers while they're processing? Probably not, right? So it's a building block, right? Then it will come to getting this like container securely, getting data for it, you know, making sure that only like these trusted, attested VMs can do it. Yes.
And about dedicated servers?
Dedicated servers, I mean, CVM technology is better than bare metal in this regard, right? Because if you have your server somewhere, right, then normally somebody who can have like physical access, for example, to the server, can like inspect your memory, for example, or something. CVM kind of protects you against that. Right? So,
yes.
We're out of time.
If you have more questions,
Yeah. Thank you again. I'm around.